Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Saita Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin the Gemara, let us note that we have included the psukim, the verses from the Torah, from Bamidbar, Perek, Hey, psukim, Yud Aleph, through Lamed Aleph, that deal with the topic of the Isha Sota. We highly recommend everyone going through the psukim, getting a feel for the situation that has arisen with a married woman suspected of adulterous relations, extramarital relations, and what transpires as a result of a husband and his suspicions being aroused, is warning her, and what follows from that. So, by all means, go over the psukim, and needless to say, before learning any new masechta, it's highly advisable to learn the mishnayos that pertain to that masechta. In other words, that masechta of mishnayos. As we turn to our text, we have a mishnah, and you'll notice that there is some marking that we've done in the Mishnah. You'll see diamonds that appear, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei / Mivneh heading, the Nosei is the topic heading, Mivneh structural note, we feature a diamond, and we've written the following: Mispar ho'edim, the number of witnesses, hadrushim, that are required, lekinui ustira. Kinui is a husband whose suspicion has been aroused. Kinui, to warn his wife to stay away from such and such an individual, mentioning a person's name. And when we say stay away, that isn't a colloquialism, but it means not to go into private yichud with so-and-so. Ustira, and the number of witnesses needed to witness the entrance into privacy with the paramour. And with that being set into motion, the husband's warning and witnesses that notice she went into private, and of course we don't know whether an actual act of intimacy took place or not, but it's with that background that the Beis Hamikdash ritual then shall take place. The drinking of the special water in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, establishing her innocence or guilt. He'ara, the note we want to make at this point is Bikinui, regarding the number of witnesses needed for the to witness or hear the initial warning that the husband issues to his wife. Ein machlokis Reb Elozer Reb Yeshua b'mishnasenu deboi shnayim. There is no machlokis between those two authorities in the Mishnah that you require two witnesses that will have heard the initial warning the husband mentions to his wife regarding staying away from the suspected individual. Kol machlokusam b'inyan stira. Their machlokis between Reb Elozer and Reb Yeshua is with regard to the number of witnesses needed for their having gone into to that would have witnessed their having gone into privacy, the wife with the suspected adulterer. We now turn to the Mishnah. Hamekane liishto, a husband who warns his wife. Rabbi Lezer Omer, mekane lo al pi shnayim, umashke lo al pi eid echod, o al pi atzmo. The witnesses required for the initial warning, number two. You have to have a minimum of two witnesses that will have heard the husband warn his wife to stay away, not go into privacy with so-and-so, with the suspected paramour. And mashke, now the word mashke literally means give to drink, but it's a reference to the privacy, the seclusion that the wife and the suspected individual experienced. How many witnesses do you need for the seclusion that follows the warning? Then you see the Tanakam, Reb Elazar saying, one witness or the husband's claim alone is sufficient. Namely, I saw her go into seclusion. Reb Yeshua Omer, Mekana law, al pi shnayim. Notice, with Mekana law, we dashed, underlined the expression so you can compare it to the initial expression on the first line of the Mishnah, and you see in both cases, shnayim. So there's no machlokes. The reason we're spending time on this point is that later in the Gemara, an additional Tanaic source will appear with these issues and these names, and a different standard will appear. So that in the meantime, to keep things simple, we can put the matter of Mekane and number of witnesses on the side. There's no controversy regarding that. Umashkal Pishnaim. However, Rabbi Yeshua says that in order for her to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, you need to have two witnesses that will be able to testify about the seclusion of the couple. Once again, the Parsha of Sota that we're dealing with involves a woman who received a warning, went into seclusion, and we don't know whether the married woman conducted an actual act of intimacy while in seclusion or not. The drinking of the special water in the Beis HaMikdash is there to reveal what actually happened. As far as testimony concerning an actual act of intimacy, that is a separate issue that will surface in our Gemara. Ketzad Mekane Lo. When we speak about the husband warning, what is meant by that, or how does that take place? Omar Lo Bifnei Shnayim. A husband says to his wife in front of two witnesses, Al Tadabri Imish Ploni. Here we'll translate. He says, I do not want you to speak with so-and-so. Vidibro imo, and she violated what her husband had warned, and she spoke with that so-and-so. But in an open area, namely not in a secluded area. Adayin hi muteres lebeisa umuteres lecho betruma. She is muteres, she's allowed, she's permitted to, beisa literally means her house, it means her husband. She's permitted to be with her husband, and she, if the husband is a kohen, enables her to continue eating truma. Nichnasa imo lebeis haseser shvasa imo kidei tuma. If the wife, following the warning she received, went into seclusion with the paramour, and she stayed in seclusion for an amount of time called kidei tuma. Kidei tuma is going to be the focal point of a long discussion in the Gemara. If you translate it literally, it would mean she stayed in seclusion enough time for defilement. What defilement are we referring to? To the act of intimacy. So if she stayed in seclusion with the suspected individual enough time for the act of intimacy. Rashi says something based on the Gemara later on. He says, Kidei ha'ra'a. The word he'ro is an important word to be familiar with. It would mean, for our purposes, a partial act of intimacy, where the male inserts his organ into the female, and he'ro is, we'll say, an incomplete act of, we'll say, to consummate the act of intimacy. It's not done. It's not necessary in order for the woman to become forbidden to her husband. He'ora is enough. The truth is that there are two schools of thought as to how much contact is involved in he'ora. Is it just a superficial, external type of contact between male and female, or is it a partial insertion? That is not important for right now. Just realizing that he'ora means an incomplete act of male insertion. So if she was enough time for that, So the result is, the Mishnah goes on to say, Asura lebeisav, asura chobetruma. She is forbidden to her husband, and she is forbidden to continue eating truma. In other words, her marriage to her husband, the Kohen, entitled her to eat truma, but now she becomes forbidden to her husband, even though we're not at a stage where there is an actual divorce document given, but she's forbidden to her husband. She also becomes forbidden in eating truma. If that husband dies without leaving any children, and he leaves a surviving brother, so the marriage to the brother will not take place, which we know more commonly by the term yibum. There is no yibum. However, she is not free to marry anyone she wants, unless there is chalitza, where the shoe removal ceremony takes place, whereby the surviving brother releases her, enabling her to marry out. Let us look at Rashi, a few lines up from here in the Rashi, Asura Lebeisa. As I should point out that as this recording is being made, the text of the Gemara that we have has Rashi Dibur HaMaskil's underline. In other Masechtas, the Rashi appears in a boldface, typeface, a bold typeface. Nevertheless, in the meantime, we have underlined the Dibure HaMaskil of the Rashi in order to be able to find them a little faster. The Rashi that we're looking at here is Dibur HaMaskil Asura Lebeisa, that if she stayed in seclusion enough time, that we referred to before as Kedei Tuma, the Rashi says, Misofek, she's forbidden to her husband out of doubt. We don't know at this point whether there was actual intimacy or not with the paramour. Kinofinu l'kamon, as the Gemara derives later, Shlosha v'nit ma'a amurim b'parsha. The word v'nit ma'a appears three times in the Parsha, in the section of the Torah dealing with the Sota. And Rashi cites the Psukim, V'kine es ishto v'nit ma'a, v'nisra v'hi nit ma'a, tachas isha v'nit ma'a. Echad shasura labal, one word indicates her prohibition to her husband after being in seclusion with the paramour. V'echad shasura laboyel, im yomus baila o yigarshena. She remains forbidden to the suspected individual, even if her husband dies or divorces her. He, the suspected individual, is permanently off limits. The echad shasura l'chumana, third vinit ma, tells us that she is prohibited to continue eating truma. We now turn to the Gemara. The first discussion, and we feature this on the side under our no sour topic heading, Mikum shel soita b'seder ha-masechtes, the positioning of this tractate amongst the surrounding tractates, the neighboring tractates in Seder Noshim, in the third order of the Shas, the Gemara. Michti Tana minozir solik. When you look at the Mishnayos, how they've been set up in a specific order, we find that Maseches Sota is coming on the heels of Maseches Nozir. My Tana de Tana Sota. What was taught with regard to Nazirus that warrants Maseches Sota to be taught after Maseches Nozir? Now, we mentioned the word after Maseches Nozir. That word is a little loaded. We'll see later why I use the word after Maseches Nozir with a bit of hesitancy. But nevertheless, there's certainly an issue of proximity that needs to be clarified. We have these two Masechtas, Sota and Nozir, taught next to each other. So why is it that Sota follows Maseches Nozir? So the Gemara answers, Kidderebi. The answer is based on what Rebbe teaches. Desanya. Now, we have a Tanaic source in which Rebbe addresses the issue of the written Torah, the Chumash. When you open a Sefer Torah to the book of Bamidbar, you find the topic of Nozir and the topic of Sota also next to each other. So Rebbe says, Rebbe Omer, Loma Nismecho Parshas Nozir LeParshas Sota. Why in the Chumash, in the Psukim, in the written Torah, do we find Parshas Nozir next to Parshas Sota? Now, technically speaking, Parshas Sota appears in the Torah before Parshas Nozir. So Rebbe is asking, why is it that the topic of Nazirus comes after the topic of Sota? Lomar Loch, it tells us, Shekol HaRoya Sota B'Kilkula, anyone who sees the Sota ceremony in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a Kilkula, means disparaging or belittling. It's a ceremony that as part of the ceremony is the removal of dignity from the suspected woman. So anyone who sees the Sota, sees the woman in her disparaged state, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin, that should motivate him to accept Nazirus, whereby he stays away, he distances himself from wine. Rashi says, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin, Shehayayin Mevili de kalis rosh vahu goram law. Wine, intoxication, brings to lightheadedness, and it's that state of mind that allowed the woman or enabled the woman to engage in these activities, going off with another man. We're dealing with a married woman going off into seclusion with another man. What caused her to do that? Well, she must have been a bit lightheaded. Very likely she drank some wine, became a little tipsy, lost her seriousness, and that's what drove her to do what she did, going into seclusion with another man. So one sees that should rattle him a little bit, should frighten an individual and cause him to, as a reaction to seeing this, to distance himself from wine. And that's accomplished through Nazirus, through accepting the vow of wine abstention through Nazirus. The Gemara, so with that we understand the proximity, the relevance of Parshas Nozir to the Parshas Sota. But notice, with regard to the Torah, which comes first? Sota. And then Nazir. Nazir is a reaction to having seen the Sota. But when it comes to the Mishnayos, the order is flipped around. V'lisni Sota, v'hoder lisni Nazir. So then in the order of the Mishnayos, the oral law, the Torah of Shebaal Peh, why not teach in the same fashion Sota, and then have tractate Nazir follow Sota? That would be in line or parallel to the order of the Chumash. So what pushed Nazir ahead of Sota as far as the Mishnayos? The Gemara answers. Before we go into the answer, though, let us emphasize, though, proximity is maintained. We're keeping the two together. We're just, as far as the Mishnayos are concerned, we switch the order. Why? Aini de Tana Ksubos Tana Hamadir. In Maseches Ksubos, which is the second tractate of the Seder of Seder Noshim, you find the tractate of Ksubos. And in Maseches Ksubos, which deals with husband's obligations toward his wife, and you have the seventh perek of that Masechta that deals with one who vowed prohibiting his wife from benefiting from him, which is a topic that has relevance to the general theme of Maseches Ksubos. So, Madir is an expression of a vow, Loshen Neder. So you see the seventh perek of Ksubos deals with the topic of vows. Oh, so Tana Nedarim, that motivated the setting up as the next Masechta after Ksubos, a Masechta that deals entirely with the topic of vows. The idea the Tana Nedarim, and since we're teaching the topic of Nedarim, vows, Tana Nozir de Domi le Nedarim, the setting up of the Mishnayos order, dictated that Nazir should be taught following the Dharma, because Nazir is also an example of a vow. It may be called a one-topic vow, the vow of wine abstention, but it has relevance to the preceding tractate of Nedarim. V'katani sota k'derebi, and then sota is taught to be in the proximity of Nazir, based on the teaching we saw above in the name of Rebbe. The little arrows that you see to the side of the Gemara text enable you to align this citation of Rebbe with the source above, which began with Rebbe. The Gemara now moves to a discussion concerning the first word of the Mishnah. We'll say it's a type of grammatical discussion with its legal ramifications. The word that opened our Masechta was Hamekane, one who happened to warn his wife. The Loshon of Hamekane di'eved in l'chatchilolo. It's an expression that indicates post facto, that if it's done, so then whatever follows from that follows. But as a first choice, l'chatchila, lo. As a first choice, meaning that a husband should warn his wife to stay away from some other man, that's not something that a husband should do as a l'chatchila, as a first choice. Let us take a look at Rashi, a few lines down from here. L'chatchila lo. Midelo toni, from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say Reb Elezer Omer mekane adam lishta pishnayim, that a man should warn his wife in the presence of two. It doesn't say that in the Mishnah. What the Mishnah says is a husband who happened to warn his wife and it was done in the presence of two, so then that gets the ball rolling. But the emphasis we are making now is post facto. The Gemara derives from this Kosovar Tana Didon, our Tana, our Mishnah, the author of our Mishnah is of the opinion Osur Lekanos. It is, as a first choice, it's forbidden to issue the warning. The Rashi says Osur Lekanos Shemevi Atzmali Tagor. He's bringing himself to Tagor is strife, fights, contention with his spouse. There's ishto lide nivul, and the result of his starting the process by warning her, it can lead her to her nivul, to her disparagement. We haven't learned exactly what that is, but we recommended earlier learning not only the psukim of the Torah, but also going through the Mishnayos. And if you go through the Mishnayos of Maseches Sota, you'll discover that the Sota ceremony done in the Beis Hamikdash results in her being disparaged. V'afiluhi tahora, even if it turns out that she's innocent. But the process, the ceremony itself, is disparaging. So, with all of this in mind, that when a husband warns his wife, that's going to arouse, of course it's going to arouse a certain strain in their relationship. The woman saying, what are you warning me for? What do you think I'm fooling around? And of course, all are probably familiar with, that's a very unhealthy domestic situation. So our Mishnah reflects the attitude that it's a husband should not warn his wife to stay away from, to avoid going into seclusion with so and so. On the side of the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, the Nosei, Zivugoi Shel Adam, the bonding or the mating, the pairing of a man with his wife. Number one, Koshe Kekriyas Yamsuf. The attitude taken by the Gemara is that it is difficult, and we use the word difficult because we don't have for lack of better choice, we'll say, we're talking about the Almighty. The concept of difficulty with the Almighty is almost a contradiction in terms. But There's the concept of difficulty doesn't necessarily mean difficult in the conventional sense, but there's also difficulty on an emotional level. It's difficult, like it's a person, let us say, has something of sentimental value, and he's cleaning out his storage area, and he sees this item. It's difficult for him to drop it in the wastebasket. Physically, it's not difficult, but it's emotionally difficult. So in that context, we can say it's difficult to create a bond, a mate, we call a shidduch between a couple, a man and a wife, as it was difficult to split the sea. It wasn't difficult in a physical sense for the Almighty to split the sea, but in splitting the sea for the Jewish people and during the Exodus from Egypt to cross at that point was involved violation of the rules or changes of the rules of nature. And the Almighty doesn't like doing that. So, in that sense, the zivugo shel adam, the setting up of the couple, the mating, the pairing of a man with a woman for marriage, the shidduch is something that is, we'll say, involves an act that's above nature. And what we mean, we'll see in the Gemara, when we say that it's koshik kriyas yamsuf, it involves finding a mate for a man, a woman suitable for a man, based on his meisim, based on his level of piety. And there's a second approach, totally different, which says arboim yoim kodim yitziras havlad, that a couple is established 40 days before the formation of the embryo. Well, 40 days before the yitziras havlad, you don't have any issues of piety to take into consideration. You're dealing with with the initial mating of the parents of each one of these couples 40 days before the fetus is formed, the determination is already made in heaven who will be marrying whom. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, ki hava posach Reish Lakish besoita, when Reish Lakish would hold forth, would lecture on the topic of sota, Omar Hochi, he would say, Ein mezavkin lo l'odom isha elo l'fi maisov. A person is provided with his wife, with his spouse, based on his maisa, based on his actions. We use the expression as level of piety. So we take a look at the Rashi. Mezavgin isha l'fi maisov, tsnua l'tzadik uprutza l'rosha. A modest woman for a righteous man, and an immodest woman for a wicked man. The Gemara then cites a pasuk that serves as the basis for Reish Lakish's point. Shenamar ki lo yonuach shevet ha-rosha al goral ha-sadikim. Just a correction in the reading. Ki lo yonuach shevet ha-resha al goral ha-sadikim. The pasuk indicates that the shevet is usually the staff or the club of the wicked will not be upon the lot of the righteous, so that the wicked remain amongst the wicked and the righteous amongst the righteous. Omar Rabo Babrachan Rabbi Yochanan v'koshin lezavgon kikriyas yamsuf. Again, here we're just translating, but Rashi adds importantly, v'koshin means lefnei hamokom. It is difficult, kiviyochol, as if to say it's difficult for the Almighty, lezavgom, to mate two people based on their maisim, dealing with people that have accumulated acts of behavior, whether it's acts of righteousness or the opposite, and then to make the calculations of who is fit for whom, that is difficult. Kikriyas Yamsuf, Rashi says, Shinishtanu Sidre Breshis, where the rules of nature underwent change. The Gemara continues, Shenemar, the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's teaching is the Pasuk, Elikim Moshev Yechidim Besa, Motzi Asirim B'Koy Sharos. The Almighty Moshev Yechidim establishes individuals, a single man, a single woman, and makes them Besa, makes them into a household. That's a reference to marriage. And juxtaposed with that is Motzi Asirim B'Koy Sharos. That's a reference to the exodus of the people of Israel from Mitzrayim, but kosher us from the word kosher, at a good time, at a time of the year where it's not too hot, it's not too cold, and the journey out of Mitzrayim was at that time of year. So the idea of setting up a couple is parallel to the exit of Mitzrayim, which involved the splitting of the sea. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this presentation accurate? The Omer of Yudah Marav, Harboim, Yoim Kodim Yitzirus Havlad. Rav Yudah, in the name of Rav, says that 40 days before an embryo is formed, there's no knowledge of their wickedness or their piety. Bas kol yoitzis v'emeres, a heavenly voice comes forth and announces, Bas ploni liploni, the daughter of so-and-so is for so-and-so man. Bias ploni liploni, when it comes to buying a house, a residence, so or an apartment, it is such and such a house is destined for such and such a person, and sode ploni liploni, in a field which might represent occupation, form of income, but certainly on a literal basis, a field, such and such a field is determined to be for such and such an individual. All of this is established, our boy Miam Kaidim Mitzias Avlad, 40 days before a child is even formed, and you're telling me that it's based on their Meisim level? They haven't done any Meisim yet. Loi Kasha, there's no contradiction in these two teachings. Ha Bezivug Rishon, Ha Bezivug Sheni. Now, these are terms that, if you look into various commentaries, you can find there's a great deal of depth beyond the literal translation. But the literal translation is, Zivug Rishon means that a person's first mating, his first match, his first wife, and Zivug Sheni would be a second wife, a second mating. I just want to emphasize that all we did now is simply a translation, but I can assure you that if you look into commentaries, you'll find more depth to this than we are sharing with you here. So the Zivug Rishon, the first mating, that's based on the we say Arboim Yoyikodim Yisiris Avlad, based on the Rashi says the mazel, a heavenly determination based on something that is not related to piety level. The Zivug Sheni, that is the situation where it's Lefi Maisov and Koshe Lezavgon. The Gemara continues. Rebbe Elazar Omer Mekana Lo Pishnayim V'chulei. The topic that we're going to be dealing with now, you can see it's featured on the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads Mokor l'ne'emonus eid echod betuma desoita. We're going to see in our Gemara that testimony concerning actual act of intimacy. Up till this point, we did not make reference to that. Up till this point, we spoke about the number of witnesses required for hearing of the husband's initial warning to the wife, and number of witnesses that would be required that witnessed the woman and the paramour going into seclusion. But none of the testimony that we've seen till this point deals with the actual witnessing of the act of intimacy between the two, the woman, the married woman, and the paramour. So in our sugya, the following will be revealed, and that is that contrary to the rest of the Torah, where we require two witnesses to establish facts, when it comes to the Parsha of Sotah, when we say the Parsha of Sotah, we are referring to a woman whose husband warned her not to be with so-and-so, and she subsequently went into seclusion. If in addition to that, you have a singular witness saying, I saw her in an act of actual physical intimacy with so-and-so, I saw the act itself, we believe him. We believe that single witness. Now, let us say that when we speak about adulterous relations, the Torah speaks about a married woman conducting intimacy with another man other than her husband as being guilty of death. A death penalty is applied. That is true, but that's not what we're going to be speaking about here. For the death penalty to be applied, you need to have two witnesses that were present and that they warned her beforehand, etc., and so forth. That's not our issue. What we are talking about in our discussion is the believability of a singular witness. The result would be that she is prohibited to be with her husband. And furthermore, the drinking of the water, the sota ceremony in the Beis HaMikdash, will not take place. That ceremony is designed to reveal what we have as a doubt. But when you have a singular witness, and the emphasis is on he is a singular witness, not two, but he's coming on the heels of Kinui and Stira, warning of the husband and seclusion, and then you have an additional singular witness saying, I saw the act of intimacy, that determines that she is guilty. Again, no death penalty, but that she is guilty. She will not be allowed to be with her husband in definitive terms, and of course not allowed to continue eating truma, but she doesn't go, there's no further drinking water ceremony that is characteristic of the sota case. So now we turn to the Gemara. We're looking for a source for that point that one witness is believed. The Gemara says, Ad kan lo pligi elo bekinu yustira. Up till this point, i.e. the necessity of having two witnesses, is the subject of a machlokus between Reb Elozer and Reb Yeshua that has relevance to the topic of kinui, the warning, and the stira, where according to Reb Yeshua, even stira, even the witnessing of seclusion, of their going into seclusion, not what took place in seclusion, but this couple's going into seclusion, Reb Yeshua says, for that you need to have two witnesses, and Reb Elozer, as we saw in the Mishnah, disagrees. So there, machlokes, if you want to be with pinpoint accuracy, the machlokes, Reb Elozer and Reb Yeshua, concerned the number of witnesses needed for the stira. There wasn't any machlokes concerning kinui. They both agreed that for the initial warning, you'll have to have two witnesses. Aval, the Gemara goes on, betumo, eid echod mehemon. If you had kinui and stira, and there was a singular witness that testifies, I saw the actual act of intimacy while they were in seclusion, singular witness is believed. And the result of that is no further ceremony, no drinking of the sota water, which, as we said, is characteristic of the parsha of sota. Utna nami, and a Tanaic source bears this out. Eid echad oimer ani roisi shidit meis, a singular witness coming on the heels of kinui and stira says, I saw actual defilement, and defilement means the actual act of intimacy taking place. Lo hoisa shoisa, she would not drink. The ceremony, the the procedure stops at that point. Okay, so now we saw an Amora say that. We saw the Gemara saying that. We saw a Tanaic source that says that. Midoraisa minolon de mehemun eid echad. From the Torah itself, where do we see that one witness in the case of Sota is believed? And let me tell you, this is a significant departure from standard judicial procedure. And standard procedure demands two witnesses. Here we're saying one witness is enough. I know that we are repetitive, but we're at the beginning of the Masechta, and we'll just say it again. One witness, but coming on the heels of Kinui and Stira. He's believed when he says, I saw the actual act of intimacy resulting in her, in the ceremony, in the procedure stopping, and we rule with definitiveness, she is prohibited to her husband. The pasuk that the Gemara cites is cited on the side of our marked Gemaras. Notice, we've written in the pasuk, let's read it together. Bamidbar Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'shochav ish oisa shichva zera, V'ne'ilam me'arinei isha. The paramour had an act of intimacy, and it was hidden from the husband's eyes. V'nistara, and they were in seclusion. V'hi nitma'a, V'eid ein ba'a. V'hi loy nitpasa. The expression v'eid, eid, ein ba, is the focal point of the Gemara's discussion. The literal translation of that would be v'eid, a witness, even a single witness, there was not. In other words, we're saying no one witnessed. And it goes on to say v'hi lo nitpasa, and she wasn't raped. So the literal translation can, practically speaking, makes no sense, because the pasuk indicates by saying, well, she wasn't raped, in other words, you're dealing with a woman that was a willing partner. That means that we have a guilty woman on our hands. And if you say there was no one that witnessed her, how do you know she's a guilty party? And yet the end of the pasuk, v'lo nitpasa, means that she was not grabbed, she wasn't raped, indicates to us we're dealing with a guilty woman. How do you know that if there are no witnesses whatsoever? So the term aid, ein ba, has to be explained through the power of Torah Shebaal Peh, through oral law. Now, so the Gemara continues and says, v'eid ein ba, b'shnayim hakosuv medaber. The word v'eid, I know grammatically, it sounds like one, there wasn't even one, but in all due respect to grammar, there's a stronger force that operates when you're learning Torah Shebaal Peh. And here we have a classic example of that. The source is telling us the eid ein ba means two witnesses there were not. Well, two there weren't, but one there was. And that's basically the goal of our analysis right now. We're looking for a source that one witness is believed. And as stated before, the pasuk indicates we have a guilty woman on our hands by the closing of the pasuk, v'hi lo nitpasa, she was not raped. So the pasuk's telling us you have two witnesses that were not there. How many were there? Then there was one. Oh, eino elo afilu be'echad. Or maybe v'eid ein ba means there wasn't even one witness. What does the word v'eid then mean? Does it mean two? Or does it mean one? Talmud Lomar, the Torah says in a different context, lo yokum eid echad be'ish. The Torah says that in order to condemn an individual, a person who's a suspect, who's on trial, who's being prosecuted, there shall not arise a singular witness to offer testimony. So what you see in this pasuk is a number is spelled out. Eid Echad, a singular witness. Mimashma, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Mimashma shenemar lo yokum Eid Beish. Had the Torah written, there shall not arise Eid. Eid is in the singular form, Beish. Ein yodeshu Echad, would I not have known without the addition of the word Echad in the Pasuk that you're talking about one? Why does the Torah add the word echad when grammatically the word aid really means singular? Ze bono av, this sets a precedent, a rule. Kol mokom shenemar aid, wherever you see the word aid, hare kan shnayim, even though grammatically it's in the singular form, it means two. Ad shifu lo hakosuv echad. Until the Torah specifies one. So when you see the word aid, automatically you're seeing two witnesses. The Omar Rachmana, and the Torah said with regard to the Sota, with the regard to the woman, the suspected woman, it said Trey Lespa. What was the pasuk in Sota? Perek Bamidbar Perakei Pasuk Yigimel, the Pasuk second line from the bottom of Omid Aleph said, the aid ain ba. What does that mean now? Aid without the word echot attached to it, the word aid means two. So the Torah is saying two there were not. Okay, there weren't two, but so how many were there? Elo chad. One. There was one witness. The Pasuk goes on to say, vihi lo nit pasa, she wasn't raped. She did this willingly. She did the act of intimacy willingly. Asura. She is forbidden. So then, if you were asked, how do you know that one witness testifying concerning an act of intimacy in the context of a Sota, the woman who had received a warning and went into seclusion, that one witness is believed? Well, the Pasuk says, V'aid ain ba, and aid means two. There were not two witnesses, but one there was. And it says she is ruled as forbidden. V'hi lo nitpasa, by saying that she was not raped, we're saying she did this act willingly, which means for halacha purposes, she is forbidden to her husband, and as we saw, also forbidden the truma, and the drinking ceremony will not follow suit. The drinking ceremony is only when we're in doubt as to whether an act of intimacy took place. But here, one witness is believed to establish certainty. And now, the Gemara goes through quite an involved discussion from here down to the, if you notice, about 12 lines down from here, I didn't count them line by line, but an analysis of this conclusion. You'll notice some diamonds that appear, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivne heading. A diamond appears, and they represent Shlavim, stages, Lavin, Le'ezet Tzurech, Kosva HaTura, HaPosuk, Lo yokum eid echad beish. What did the Torah have to write that out for? Why did the Torah have to write the general pasuk of there shall not arise a singular witness to prosecute a person? Klomar, b'lin pasuk zeh, what interests the Gemara is without that pasuk, ma ha'yisi choshev yepirushel shel Aid ain ba de Parsha Sota. What would we have really thought aid ain ba by Sota is teaching us? So just to review, by the fact that the Torah said elsewhere, Lo yokum aid echot beish, I know that aid ain ba by Sota means there weren't two, but there was one. What would have been the case had the Pasuk not spelled out Lo yokum eid echad be'ish? Now, the Gemara. Elo taimo dechsiv Lo yokum eid echad be'ish. So I know that one witness is believed by Sota where it said eid ein bo, is because elsewhere when the Torah wants to speak about literally a single witness. It spells it out. Therefore, when the word echod does not appear, as is the case by the Sota, so eight ein bo means two there were not, but one there was. Ho lav hochi. Without that pasuk, without lo yokum eid echod, have amino, well, I'm led to believe that I would have thought aid the sota, the pasuk that said aid ein bo, that pasuk equals chadhu, one witness. Oh, so now continue the trend of thought. Ve'i afilu chad leka. If you say aid means would have meant one witness, there isn't even one elabamai mitzra. How did she become forbidden? The pasuk at the end, it said v'hi lo nitpasa. You're dealing with a woman that was not raped, which means you have a woman who willingly engaged in an adulterous relation, and which means she is for all practical purposes forbidden to her husband. What made her forbidden? So what are we really saying? What we're really saying is, even without the pasuk of lo yokum, I would have known that the word aid, ein bo by sota, means two. Well, if that's the case, then what do I need the lo yokum eid echad pasuk for? Because to leave the pasuk on its simple translation level, you've got something that doesn't make any sense. That even one witness there was not. There was no one. And yet the Torah says that she becomes also to her husband by using the expression v'hi lo nitpasa. The Gemara says itzterich. I need the lo yokum pasuk. Salka daita chamina eid ein ba means ein ne'emon ba. I would have thought eid ein ba means there is one witness. Not to translate it absolutely literal that there wasn't even one. No, there was one. But eid ein ba means there was one and he's not believed. So that's what I would have thought. The Gemara asks, would you really have thought that ein ne'emon ba? That one witness is not believed, so how many do you need? Wait, you need to have two? V'yelo, my boy, so what do you need? Ad di'ik o'trei, that in order to make her forbidden, you would have to have two witnesses. So that eid ein ba means one is not believed, and you really have to have two. Do I need this pasuk for that goal? Lishtoik kro mine. Let the Torah remain silent, not write eid ein ba. The asio dover dover mi mamon. Through word comparison, through exera shava, the word dover that appears in the context of forbidden intimacy, and the word dover that appears in monetary matters, vanoyo dano, midi dehavi akol edius shebetorah. There's another pasuk in the case of monetary matters, which says that al pi shnayim edim yokum davar, that with the testimony of two witnesses, we can establish facts regarding monetary obligations. So you have the word davar in the context of monetary matters. You have the word davar, ki motza bo ervas davar, in the case of a woman who behaved in an adulterous fashion. So I see through Dovar, that in matters of morality, of intimacy, of forbidden relations, you need to have two witnesses. So the question is, once again, what do I really need? Lo yokum eid echod be'ish. What do I need that pasuk for? If it is to tell me that when you see by the sota that in other words, without that pasuk, without the lo yokum pasuk, I would have thought that one witness is not believed. Well, I don't need the lo yokum to tell me otherwise. That would have been that point, that one witness is not believed could have been derived through a gzeira shava. So that you don't need the lo yokum posuk to dispel that point that one witness would not believe. I would have been able to dispel that simply from a gzeira shava dover dover. The Gemara says, no, itzterich. I need the pasuk of lo yokum eid echad. The question is, what would I have thought without that? Would I have had a tenable alternative hava amina? Yes. I would have thought that eid ein bo by sota means one witness is not believed, and I would have actually thought that he should be believed, and that I can't rely on the dover dover gezeira shava mimamon to say that he is not believed. Sota daita chamina, sota shiny. I would have thought that eid ein bo by sota, which will mean that one witness is not believed, and I need to be told it specifically by the sota that one witness is not believed, had I not had the lo yokum posuk. Why do I need to be told specifically by the sota that one witness is not believed? The raglayim ladavar. There are suspicious circumstances. Share kino la v'nistara. The husband has already warned her to stay away from so-and-so. She's gone into seclusion with so-and-so. Lishemen ba eid echad. So I would have thought that one witness would be believed, being that he's coming on the heels of all of this suspicious activity. So the Torah tells me, eid ein ba, one witness is not believed. And I wouldn't have concluded that by the Dover Dover Mimamon Gezeira Shava. So that, with all of that having been said, if you're going to leave out the Pasuk of Lo Yokum Eid Echad, I'm going to end up thinking that Eid Ein Ba by Sota means one witness is not believed. And I really need to be told that one witness is not believed, because I would have thought otherwise. The Gemara asks, Umi motzis amris di ein ne'emon ba visharya, according to the havamina, according to what I would have thought. What did we say? We said that, well, sota is different because of all the suspicious circumstances leading up to it. And the Torah needs to tell me that the one witness is not believed. Well, when you say one witness is not believed, what are you then telling me? You're saying not believed, and she didn't then conduct the act of intimacy. We're not believing him. Visharya means that she'd be allowed. Yeah, but you couldn't say that as far as the pasuk is concerned. After the pasuk says v'eid ein ba, and there wasn't a witness, and we're saying, well, the one witness is not believed. Well, you say he's not believed, you indicate she's muteris, she's sharia, she's allowed. But the pasuk goes on to say, and she was not raped. Michlau, that if she wasn't raped, means you're dealing with a woman that was willingly engaged in adultery. So, to say that eid ein ba means that a singular witness would not have been believed, that's simply not true. You can't read the pasuk that the singular witness, even though I thought he should believe, well, he's not believed, when the conclusion of the pasuk indicates prohibition. The Gemara says itzterich. In the final analysis, I'm going to need the lo yokum eid echad pasuk. And what about my havamina? What would I have thought without that pasuk? Salka deita chamina ein ne'emon ba, that when it says in sota, eid ein ba means the single witness is not believed. Ad de'ika trei. Until you have two witnesses that saw the act of intimacy. Ubetrei nami hidalonit pasa. And even with two witnesses that testify about the act of intimacy, she would not be forbidden unless they could testify that she was not raped. So, do you see that there actually is a havamina to think that Aid Ain Ball is revealing something of significance to us? That one witness, again, I'm emphasizing, this is the havamina. That one witness is not believed, but you need to have two. And even if you have two, you have to establish that there was no rape. Kamash Malon comes along the Torah, Lo Yokum Eid Echad, which reveals that when you see the word aid without the word echad, it means two. And therefore, by Sota, where it said Eid Ein Baal, it's telling us two, there were not. One, there was. And he is believed. So as you see, through this entire analysis, we've established once again that if in the case of the Sota, woman, married woman, whose husband had warned her not to be in seclusion with so-and-so, and witnesses testify about the warning and the seclusion, and then one witness comes along and says, I saw them in the act of intimacy, his information is accepted as truthful. And the ceremony of the Sota being brought to the Beis HaMikdash, she said, will not follow, because we've established she is guilty. And the whole Sota process, the trip to the Beis HaMikdash with her drinking of the special waters, that was designed to establish the facts. You don't need to establish the facts when you have one witness coming and telling us that he saw the actual act of intimacy. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mekane lo al pi shnayim, and Rabbi Yeshua went on in the Mishnah to say, Umashke al pi shnayim, not only the initial warning needs to be with two witnesses, but the seclusion needs to be with two witnesses as well. My taimo de Rabbi Yeshua. What is the basis of Rabbi Yeshua saying that you need to have two witnesses for the kinui and stira? On the side of the Gemara, our nosei, our topic reading, topic heading says, Eid echad ne'eman betumo, one witness true is believed with regard to the actual act of intimacy, but avolo, but one witness is not acceptable bekinui lefi shnei hadeos b'mishnah, according to both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. For the initial warning, one witness is not sufficient. That, you know, one guy comes and says, I heard the husband warn his wife. And point number two is bestira, one witness is not believed lefi Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. So what is the basis for these Tanaic points of view? My taimo de Rabbi Yeshua, what is the basis of Rabbi Yeshua saying that you need to have two witnesses for both kinui and stira? Omar kra ba. The pasuk that we've been spending so much time on up till now says v'eid ein ba. Ba means in it. It's a limitation expression. Ba v'lo b'kinui. Ba v'lo b'stira. Simply put, one witness is believed with regard to the actual act of intimacy, but one witness is not believed with regard to the kinui nor the stira. For Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, who says that only by kinui, by the initial warning, one witness is insufficient, he says, bo v'lo b'kinui. The limitation is limited, meaning one witness is acceptable with regard to actual sighting of active intimacy, but not sufficient with regard to testifying about initial warning. But for the testimony concerning seclusion, for the stira, one witness would be enough. V'eima b'avalo b'stira. According to Rabbi Lezer, why not apply the limitation saying that one witness is enough for the actual act of intimacy, but it's insufficient for the testimony concerning seclusion? Well, Rabbi Lezer doesn't agree with that. Because stira iskish l'tuma, the issue of seclusion is compared to tuma, and in with regard to tuma, the actual act of intimacy, one witness is enough. Dichtiv, where do we see the comparison? The pasuk says v'nistira v'hi nitma. Nistira is the seclusion, nitma is actual defilement. Question: well, kinui nami iskish l'tuma. with regard to the initial act, the initial warning, you see it compared to Tumah, and the Rebbe Elazar says you need to have two. Dichtiv v'kineas ishto v'hi nitma'ah. So you have kinui and Tumah compared to one another. Well, he says no. With regard to one witness being enough for kinui, that we can't accept. Ha mi'eit rachmana ba. The Torah had a limitation, meaning that only by Tumah is one witness enough, but by kinui, one witness is not enough. Uma roi, so why do you take the limitation, why do you apply the limitation to exclude kinui from accepting one witness and not with regard to stira? Answer, mistabra stira adifa. It's more likely that regarding the seclusion, we're going to be more stringent and accept even one witness, like by Tumah, shekein oisarto ketumah. Upon the testimony of seclusion, she becomes forbidden. In other words, once a husband, let's say, issues a warning, that husband is allowed to continue being with his wife. When does he become forbidden? When there's an act of seclusion. Just like if there was an act of actual intimacy. So, with regard to stira, Rabbi Elazar is machmir, to accept even one witness. Well, adarabba, you can argue to the contrary. Kinui adif, there's reason for adif means to be machmir. Adif literally means more. By kinui, there's more reason to be stringent. Shekein ikir goram lo. That's what got the process started. The ikir means the beginning. That was the beginning. And without the initial warning, there would be no sota process to speak of whatsoever. So let's be stringent and accept one witness for the kinui. Well, ilav stira kinui mi'ika. If you didn't have the following stira, what value would the kinui, the warning, be? Of what halachic strength or ramifications would there be to the simple kinui? A little more response. V'ilav kinui stira mayahani. And without the initial warning, just because a couple is seen going into seclusion, what effect would that have? It wouldn't have any effect. If a married woman goes into a room with another man and locks the door behind her, that might be a forbidden thing to do, but it doesn't make her forbidden to her real husband. Afilu hachi, even though we're saying that the stira without a preceding kinui would not be effective, stira adifa. The stira is nevertheless reason, according to Rebbe, to be more machmir, to be more stringent and accept one witness, the aschalta de tumah hi. It represents the beginning of the act of intimacy. In other words, where do people conduct intimacy? In seclusion, in private. So that the actual act begins by their going into seclusion. And that's the reason why Rebbe Elazar in the Mishnah with regard to the stira, one witness is enough. Now before we go further, let us emphasize the following. What we just got finished saying was an explanation for the opinion of Rebbe Elazar in the Mishnah. What about Rebbe Yehoshua? So we have a note on the side. There's a starred note on the side where we've written Nira Lafias Daiti. It appears to me that Rebbe Yehoshua lo sover hach svora. Rebbe Yehoshua doesn't accept that particular logic, das halta de tuma, that the stira represents the beginning of the actual act of intimacy. L'chein kinui stira have a shakul. Therefore, kinui and stira are on equal footing, and therefore, the shneim iskish l'tuma. Both we find compared to tuma, and in that sense, we have the limitation expression of aid ein ba, which we learn ba is. Is in the actual act of intimacy, one witness is believed, but not with regard to the other things, kinui and stira. Another point as we go on in the Gemara is just to review the shitos, and we've noted on the side, on the other side of our Gemara, Rabbi Elazar de Masnisen, Rabbi Elazar of the Mishnah holds Kinui Bishnayim, Stira Be'echad, and Rabbi Elazar that we're going to see in the next source, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbuta. Rabbi Yossi Rabbuta was a later Tana presenting his version of Rabbi Elazar, Kinui Be'echad, Stira Bishnayim. In fact, it's just the opposite of what Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah said. Therefore, the Gemara goes on to say, Masnisen, the low-key haitano, our Mishnah, which had Rabbi Elazar saying, Kinui Bishnayim and Stira Bechod, or Al-Yaday Atzmo, the husband himself, is not like the following source. The Sanya Rabbi Yossi Rebuto, Oymer Mishum Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yossi Rebuto quotes Rabbi Elazar, HaMekan Elishto Mekan Al-Pi Echod, or Al-Pi Atzmo. A husband warning his wife not to be in seclusion with so-and-so, that can be ascertained through a singular witness, or even if the husband himself claims that he warned her. Umashke lo al pi shnayim. And the mashke, the act of seclusion, that takes place only, in other words, testimony concerning the act of seclusion, or the situation of seclusion, is only if you have two witnesses. Hey, Shivu Chachom and Lodiv Rabbi Yossi Behuda, Ein Lodover Sof. The Chomim, the other sages, reacted to Rabbi Yossi Behuda by saying, well, according to your approach, Ein Lodover Sof. Now, we're going to have to leave that expression unexplained for the time being. The Gemara itself will ask, what do you mean by Ein Lodover Sof? Literally, there is no end to it. Now, first of all, where does Rabbi Yossi Behuda get his idea from for Rabbi Elazar? My time to Rabbi Yossi Behuda. Omakra, ba. We saw the pasuk before, eid ein ba, which meant two there weren't, but one there is, one is believed. Ba velo bestira. One witness is believed with regard to tuma, but not with regard to seclusion. The ema, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar says that when it comes to the mashke was the seclusion, that you need to have two witnesses. The Amar Bavalo Bakinoi, why not use the limitation saying that one is believed for Tuma but not believed for the Kinoi? The more answers, well, Kinoi is Kishla Tuma. We find Kinoi being compared to Tuma, and with Tuma one witness is believed. So for the initial warning, one witness would be sufficient. Well, stira nami iskish l'tuma d'chti v'nistira v'hinitma. Seclusion, though, is also compared to tuma, and if by tuma one witness is believed, let's believe one witness for the seclusion. Hahu, no. That nistira v'hinitma has a different purpose. L'kamo shi'or stira. It's to tell me how long is an act of seclusion between married woman and paramour. How long must they be in seclusion for prohibition to set in? And how long is that? Kidei tuma hudasa. Hudasa means it comes for that purpose. Hence, stira is the amount of time to do the act of intimacy. Now, we don't see the act of intimacy when they're in seclusion, but if they're in seclusion for enough time to do the act, that's enough seclusion to create prohibition. This is a quote from the source we just saw above. Heshivu chachomim ledivrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda ein ledover sof. According to your approach, ein ledover sof. There's no end to creating prohibition. Mind you, what do you mean by that? We have a couple approaches, and before we go on in the Gemara, we have on the side a topic heading. Pirush Hadikotan Bibraisal, the Rabbi Yossi Behuda, Ein Ledover Sof. We're coming to explain that expression. And you'll see that we have a double underline marking. That's one of our series markings. These are stages to explain that which we need to explain. What does it mean, Ein Ledover Sof? So the Gemara, first stage. Dezimnin delo koni, the Omar kanoi. You can have a situation where you've got this, we'll say, jealous type husband, where he never actually warned. And he says, he claims he warned. When he gets angry at her, he'll say, I warned her not to be with so-and-so. And then he'll bring witnesses that they were in seclusion. Well, in reality, though, he never really warned her, and therefore she wasn't careful to avoid being in seclusion. But you can see that by believing the husband, you're giving grounds to this situation, that it could, that a situation of, let's say, of prohibition can erupt at any time. The Gemara asks, "Hal Mishnah Seinu Yesh L'Dover Sof," and you're implying that according to our Mishnah, so there's a cap on things. That's things are under control. Well, Zimnin Dolo Istater VeOmar Istater. According to our Mishnah's version of Reb Elazar, one witness is believed to say that one witness or himself is believed to say that she went into seclusion. Well, could it not be that, well, okay, he warned her, but she maybe didn't go into seclusion, and the husband, out of a fit of wrath, is going to say, well, I saw her go into seclusion. According to Reb Elazar and Mishnah, he would be believed. Omer Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef, Omer Rav Yochanan, Af l'divrei Rav Yosi, Rav Yuda ein l'dover sof. So according to stage two, we're not ruling out that our Mishnah represents a situation where there's no end to how easily you can prohibit a woman. But what the Tanaic source, the Brisa that we saw above, is saying that even according to Rabbi Yossi Buda's approach, ein l'dover sof, there's no end to how easily you'll forbid, you can prohibit the woman. The Gemara asks, technically speaking, is that really so that even af l'divrei Rabbi Yossi Yehuda v'lo mibayil Mishnah Seinu, that even according to Rabbi Zeren, and it goes without saying, according to the Mishnah, that you will easily come to prohibit the woman? Adarabba, to the contrary, the Mishnah Seinu ikar. Hosom leko ikar. According to our Mishnah, there is a cap on things. According to our Mishnah, kinui, the warning, as far as Reb Elazar is concerned, he's not believed on his own, according to our Mishnah's version of Reb Elazar, to say, I warned her. You need to have two witnesses. So that even if he becomes, let's say, fitful and wrathful, he's not going to be able to prohibit her unless he can produce two witnesses that would say that the husband warned her. Hasam Lecha Iker, with regard to the approach taken by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudin presenting Rabbi Eliezer, there's no cap at the beginning, meaning as far as the kinu is concerned, he can come along and say, I warned her, when he really didn't, and end up prohibiting his wife just by producing witnesses that saw her go into seclusion. So that, how can you say that when the Brisa says that according to Rabbi Yossi Behuda, ain't l'dover sof, it means to say that even according to Rabbi Yossi Behuda, if anything, again, by saying even according to him, you're just giving us the impression that according to the Mishnah, it's even easier to create prohibition. Alright, so Elo Iitmar Hochi Iitmar, third stage. Omar Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ledivrei Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, Ve'af LeMishnah Seinu Ein L'Dover Sof. According to Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, it's certain that you're going to easily create prohibition, because even right at the beginning, by the kinui, the husband along on his own would be believed. So according to Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, ain l'dover sof, and even according to the Mishnah, where the beginning you need two witnesses, but as far as the stira is concerned, Rabbi Elazar of the Mishnah says the husband on his own would be believed. There's a Rashi that maybe we should have read earlier, but it has relevance to what we have right now, what we've learned now anyway in the Gemara. The third wide line of the Rashi, Hocha Leko Iker. The presentation of Rabbi Yossi Behuda and his version of Rabbi Elazar is that here there is no beginning, meaning it's very easy to create Isser at the outset. Uch Shichos, when he gets angry at his wife, Nekal Omer Kinesi. It's easy for him to say, I warned her, when he didn't. Ah, what about the end? The seclusion? That doesn't present too much of a barrier, a possibility of thwarting things, because there are many people around that could be brought in to testify that saw a couple go into private. It goes without saying how many situations you have in contemporary society, office buildings and receptionists and secretaries and bosses that go into the room and lock the door behind them. Many people in the waiting room that might see that. So it's easy to find testimony for that. So that in the conclusion of the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yossi Biyuda, Ein L'Davar Sof, it's very easy. There's no end to how easy it is to make her, to make the woman, usher to her husband. But even according to the Mishnah, true, you need to have two witnesses for the initial warning. Once that's done, though, you can easily find witnesses but I should say, according to our Mishnah, you don't even need witnesses for the stira. So that, as far as Rabbi Yossi Biyuda is concerned, on both ends, it's very easy to come up to a point of prohibition. The initial warning, the husband is believed on his own. The seclusion, easy to find witnesses. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, it's true that the beginning, it's not so easy to create testimony regarding the warning. We require two witnesses for the warning. But Rabbi Lezer of the Mishnah told us that after you have two witnesses for the warning, the seclusion, the husband himself is believed. We continue in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Hanina Misura. Lo lemo initially itse bismanaze, a person should not say to his wife nowadays, lo tisteri bahadi ploni, don't be in private with so and so. Now, don't say that means a husband on his own in privacy with his wife, no one's around, he shouldn't warn her. Dilmo kaimel kribius yehuda domar kinui al piatsmo. Maybe the halacha follows, Rabbi Yossi Biyuda says, that kinui, that the initial warning, is something that the husband himself is believed to say that he did. Umistatra, and she'll, after that, end up going into private. And according to Rabbi Yossi Biyuda, it's true he requires witnesses for the private, but we saw the Rashi before, and that's why we emphasized it. It's easy to find witnesses for her going into seclusion. For lekoh idna me soto lemivdika, and we don't have nowadays the soto waters in the Beis Hamikdash to really check her out. The koasar lo iluya isura delolam, and by his having warned her, and then subsequently, you remember the case we gave with the office and the secretary and the boss and the female secretary, male boss going into seclusion scenario. That's rather common. If you have a situation where that husband of that receptionist or that female secretary had warned her not to go into private, at that point that she goes into private, she becomes forbidden to her husband and there's no way out of it because we don't have the Beis Hamikdash yet. Of course, in the Beis Hamikdash, if she would then drink the waters and nothing would happen to her, so we would know she is innocent. Before we go further in the Gemara, on the side, we have a mivneh, a nosei mivneh heading, a structural topic heading combined with a structural note. You'll notice we have a bow tie that appears and a triangle marking that appears. So on the side, by the bow tie, we've written shnei gishos, two approaches, lemahu loshon kinui. The expression kinui, what is it? Is it kino, kas, an expression of wrath, or is it hasra, an expression of warning? These two bow ties you can see are also introduced with the Roman numerals 1 and 2. The triangle that you see represents shnei deos v'gisha rishona. Loshon Kino. There are two approaches within Roman numeral number 1. Bemi Yeh Hakas. When we speak about the Kinoi being an expression of wrath, creation of wrath, where is the wrath manifest? Beino levein acherim, between the woman and her friends, her neighbors, or beino levino, between the husband and the wife. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Reish Lakish, ma loshon kinui. What does that mean? Dovar hamatil kina beino levein acherim. It's something that if a man warns his wife to stay away from so-and-so, it creates strain, contention between her and others, and neighbors, people around. Alma kosovar. Now, you'll ask, well, why does that happen? Well, once a woman is warned not to be in private with so-and-so, she becomes very wary. She becomes, we'll say, standoffish or distancing herself from people. A whole attitude or behavior pattern overcomes the woman, and therefore people, not knowing what took place, they don't necessarily know that her husband warned her, and they see her behaving thusly, that creates tension between her and those around her that see her staying away from them. Alma, well, if tension is created simply because of their ignorance, what do you see about their knowledge of the kinui? Alma kosovar kinui al piatsmo, that the kinui, the actual warning, is done on his own word, meaning by himself. There, you don't need to have witnesses for that. The kuliamo lo yadi de konila, the neighbors, the people around, don't know that the husband warned her. You don't need to have witnesses for that, according to this approach. Did we see that, by the way, before? We certainly did. We saw Reb Yossi Reb Yehuda presenting Reb Lezer saying that kinui can be al piatsmo, erechor al piatsmo. So this approach, that the public, that the neighbors and the surrounding area, the people around, are going to start feeling tension and wrath toward her, they were not aware that she was warned. And they're going to say, Viamri, people will say, my, de kamo, de kobatla, what's wrong with her that she's staying away from us? The osu lemeva kinobadon, that will create tension and wrath between herself and those around her. So this approach indicates, by saying it's kinas aloshon of kas beino levein acherim, shows or reflects the approach taken above by Rabbi Yossi Buda in the name of Reb Lezer, that kinui can be done even by the husband without witnesses around him. No one knows about the kinui. Rav Yemer Bashalmi Mishmei Da Baye Omar, a second approach to what is the manifestation of the wrath spoken of? He says, Dovar Amatil Kino Beino Leveino, something that creates wrath between the wife and her husband. Now, why, if a woman is warned, will she start feeling wrathful toward her husband? Here's the explanation. Alma Kosovar Kinui Al Pishnayim Edim. The warning is done in the presence of two witnesses. People are going to know about it. The kuliamo yadi de koni law. Everyone's going to know that he warned her, his wife. The iu hu de osi lemevad kino bahado. And now here we'll try to translate, but Rashi will complete the picture. It means that he, the husband, will now become wrathful toward her. But look at Rashi at the bottom. View the dosi mevad kino bado shezu maknitosoi al shechoshta. She becomes challenging to him. She starts to attack her husband. Oh, why are you suspicious of me? And she starts to argue with him. Why are you suspicious? You don't trust me, and all those other emotional expressions that follow forth. Oh, and she's now instigating him. He will become wrathful toward her as a result of her instigation. We continue at the top of Daf Gimel. Almo Kosavri. These approaches show us the osur lekanos. Rashi at the top says almo kosavi dosur lekanos, that it is really forbidden. And by the way, we saw this idea at the beginning of the early part of today's shiur, where we saw that the expression hamekaneh meant only something bidyeved, but not as a first choice. That our Tana holds osur lekanos. So these these approaches that we just saw indicate that. Rashi at the top says, since they explained that kino kamekane is an expression indicating wrath that ensues, it's something forbidden. It's forbidden to create wrathful situations. The Gemara continues, Uman de Omar Muter Lekanos Mau Loshan Kinui, and according to the alternative approach, by saying, by the way, that our Mishnah is of the opinion also Lekanos, you're indicating that there are alternative opinions. Well, according to the alternative opinions that hold Muter Lekanos, that it's permissible, it's quite all right, Lekanos, Mahu Loshan Kinui, what does Kinui mean? Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Ein Kinui Elo Loshon Hasra'a. Kinui means warning. V'cheinu Omer V'yikane Hashem L'artso. Rashi, at the second line from the top, says, V'yikane Hashem L'artso, Hisra B'yelik V'chosu V'gezim Shelo Yashchisu Odes Artso. The context of this posuk in Yoel is where the prophet is warning the people that the people should straighten out their ways so as not to bring this plague of locusts upon that will come and destroy the land. The Beshua Kovai Mishtoi Parsha Deliel. The Parsha of in Yoel, in the prophet Yoel, that pasuk appears in the context of the, we'll say, the threatening plague of locusts. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.